I'm Michelle Laurie, and this is the Nitty Gritty Committee, conversations about the guts and the glory of life. Brought to you by Car City Ringwood, the largest used car complex in the Southern Hemisphere, carcity.com.au. This conversation was recorded in front of a live audience at the 2015 Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It features Nazim Hussain and Ronnie Chang, and also Andy Saunders.
You guys okay? Cool.
Yeah, Ronnie literally came running back from the toilet.
Yeah.
That's
why I came down the middle, because I was halfway peeing. And
good job! Yeah. Have you finished peeing?
No.
Oh.
I stopped halfway, which is ability.
Not a number.
Has anyone tried to stop peeing midstream?
Oh, sir, do we have to start with piss jokes?
Oh, this is... Nazim has a very low threshold for things of that nature. Would that be fair to say, Nazim? You're very polite.
I'm very polite. I always end with piss jokes.
Yeah. It hurts for like 1 second, then you're good. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you paid for, guys.
Now, Andy Saunders is the man who was singing the song that you just heard before I came on, Cos I'm Aboriginal. Isn't that great? Yeah. Yes, it's fantastic.
It's great, isn't it?
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube. It's called White Black Atcher, that stuff. Deadly, yep. Deadly Chef is a favourite of mine.
Yep. Yep. Devon Three Ways.
Devon Three Ways.
One of my favourites.
Do we have... You know what I forgot to do? Do we have any Indigenous people in our crowd today? Bono. You know the Devon joke.
First cousin.
It. Yeah.
That's why I married a white girl. I knew I wouldn't be related to her. She's hot too. Hello, look at this. As if I was going to miss out there.
How's the lady situation for you guys?
My mum is currently having meetings, extensive meetings, and look, at this point, we can't disclose any further information, so...
She's not here. We can talk freely when your mum's not in the room.
All right, well, basically, I'm just fingers crossing that my mum likes this girl that I like. But
yeah.
No, I think she met her the other day and she was like, oh, she's a very nice girl. Very sweet girl. She doesn't know that behind closed doors. She.
No. What doors are you talking about? I'm talking about.
Now, you moved out of home at 29.
Yes.
Yes.
What? I was too young?
While your mum was overseas.
She came back and I still really couldn't break it to her. I sort of just said, I'm just going to go stay at my friend's place again and again.
And you had your own flat. So now you've got this beautiful girl. Now, fortunately, she's Muslim girl, right?
Yes, she's a... Fortunately, she's Muslim.
Well, what I mean is... She
Sorry to everybody else. She's missed out on converting. But look, honestly, we've got like an hour. We've got like half an hour left and... I'm happy to facilitate that process for any of you.
How do you convert to Islam?
Oh, very straightforward. You've got to accept 6 basic truths. let's just move on. But I'm happy to talk to anybody after the show.
Get ready to change religions.
My point is that she ticks a lot of boxes for your mum.
No, she's very friendly. She's Muslim.
Yeah, she's Muslim. And so
no,
your mum.
She's a nice girl.
So your mum's still going over to do the traditional meetings with her parents,
you know,
and all that.
How is that traditional? You know, she's.
Isn't it?
What? Well, how did you? Anybody here on a date? As if your parents didn't set that up, right? Like. Oh really? Oh well, yeah. I had no idea. I just thought this is the way things are done.
Ronnie, yeah. How's the lady situation going?
Yeah, she's cool.
You got a special lady.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah,
why don't you tell us a little bit more than that?
Oh, I try not to involve her in the public.
But, well, you're going to try harder because we're actively asking you.
Yeah, she's cool. She's in Sydney right now. So, just hanging out with her family.
You've just told us where she is. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her?
Well, you want to know? No, talk to me about it. You don't leave her out of this.
Well, but you don't...
Yeah, she didn't sign up for this, so yeah.
Well, we did.
Yeah. I feel like people here don't even know who I am. You want to know who I'm dating? Like, you don't.
Yeah. No, you know
the
what I want to know.
Connection is too far. Like, you don't even know who I am yet.
You are hot young comedians, and I just want to know. And Andy got me thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, do you get more girls when you're a hot young comedian?
Oh
you
yeah,
before
just
that,
just hanging off.
Well, you got a girl, so that was a start. And you, yeah. And you. I mean, so you don't do jokes about your relationship?
No, not now I do, but I tried to leave her out of it because I felt like she didn't sign up for that, you know. So
yeah.
You know, because it gets weird. You start talking about stuff. I mean, she's fine with it. I've joked about stuff that we've talked about before, but I've always made her like a different person in the joke. But this is very meta.
So if you were to describe her in the abstract, like as if she wasn't there, but
yeah.
If describe your ideal girl for us.
Why are you?
I like making you feel awkward and uncomfortable.
You know this is making me awkward.
You got to find a better way of getting out of it, because now we all really want to know.
No, there's nothing to know. She's a.
He's
cool
got no girlfriend, guys.
That's actually easier. Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend. Yeah, I actually don't have a girlfriend.
She'd prefer that, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
What was that guy in the Brady Bunch when she pretended she had a boyfriend? What was his name? George Glass. Is that your girlfriend?
No.
George Glass.
I'm not kidding. No, I haven't watched the Brady Bunch in like 20 years, so that's also a bit of a data
really
reference.
You watch I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
No. Oh, I did. Yeah, with Joel Creasy. Yeah, I love Creasy. Yeah, he's killing it. Yeah. Oh yeah, she was in that as well. The Brady, yeah.
Crazy Marsha.
Yeah, she was great. Who was she in the Brady
Bunch?
She
was the one that was kind of yelling and screaming and losing her mind.
No. Who was she in the Brady Bunch?
Oh, she was Marsha. No, Brady.
Yeah, she was Marsha. Yeah. As in, she was the kid or the?
They were all kids, Ronnie. Let's move on. Okay. So.
This is unusual. I don't perform. Usually, I don't hang out with this demographic of people.
What demographic? What are we?
People that watch the Brady Bunch. That's anyone below the age of 80.
People who know what the Brady Bunch is. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
It was really funny because we walked in and this guy here was like, who the fuck, are they trying to confuse me? Who's fucking Andy and who's Nassim? There's a lot of brown up here.
There is.
I actually walked in with Waleed Ali, who's here tonight somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was the one that was performing and Waleed was next to me and they said, have you guys got tickets? I said, I'm performing. And then I think they did like magic eye and thought we were the same person and let both of us through. So
awesome.
Yeah.
It is actually a sneaky show about diversity, really, that I'm throwing here. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, I kind of guessed.
Right? But also it's about the TV that you were making, because I think like TV, Australian TV and comedy is now diverse, and I don't think it was, or previously it was like kind of the Wogs Out of Work thing that was very much about stereotypes and making fun of the fact that we really thought that was happening. Mm. But you guys are doing very different stuff. Like, what do you feel about what you're doing in terms of?
Oh, look, it's all about myth busting and breaking down stereotypes and blah blah blah. But I hate the stereotypes about Aboriginal people, about black people, you know. And I'm sure you'd hate the stereotypes about Eskimos as well. And Nazim, I hate the one where you know, Aboriginals are all drunk, they all drink alcohol, they all, you know, they all spend all their money on grog, and I take offence to things like that, you know, because we smoke heaps of pot as well. Yeah, and I hate the myth about black men, Nazim. You don't look at me like you don't know the myth about black men.
What's the myth?
You do. I'm here to tell you that we don't all steal cars. Because we get them for free from the government. Just driving around with our huge penises hanging out the window. What about you, Ronnie?
I don't know what to think anymore.
No.
Do you feel like you have to confront cultural myths when you're doing your comedy? Do you have to work that in somehow?
Do you?
Well, you know, like.
What race are you, by the way?
I'm Muslim. That's my race. Oh, yeah. I'm from brown. I'm Sri Lankan. South Asian. And yeah, look, obviously my show is called Legally Brown, so I guess we touch on some of those issues.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
But people say all sorts of things, like, you know, ever since ISIS hit the charts last year, like people saying all sorts of dumb stuff. Like I had a guy come up to me, he said, oh, hey Nazim, you're Muslim, does that mean you support ISIS? And I was like, that's ridiculous. That's basically implying that we all think the same, that we're part of some sort of monolith that we all support and follow the same groups. I said, just because I'm Muslim doesn't mean I support ISIS. I mean, you know, some of us like Al-Qaeda, you know, like it's just, you really shouldn't bunch us all together like that. Like, it's just the reality of Australia.
Must moment, be yeah. annoying.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
I just shoehorned a bit of material in
That's
for my show.
But you didn't answer her question.
I thought I did.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Do people say things about?
No, it's like, do you feel as though you have to kind of represent and
well,
myth
I think
bust?
Naturally, like if you are a non-white person in the public space, naturally you are representing, whether you like it or not, a demographic of people who have never been or very unfairly been represented in the broader public space, right? Mm. So as a Muslim or as a brown person, because I'm on television, brown people and Muslim people, all of a sudden they put on you all of their expectations and hopes and aspirations, and you, whether you want to wear that or not, you have to sort of, you're carrying that burden in lots of ways. So when I first did stuff on TV or in stand-up, like, you get all sorts of people messaging you and sending you emails, giving you constructive and destructive feedback, right? And at the start, I was like, pissed off, like, why? Stop telling me what to do. Like, I'm my own person. But then you start to realize that people actually feel invested and they care about what you're saying and they feel like what you do affects and reflects on them. So it's kind of nice to be carrying along with you that community and making people feel proud and excited with what you do. So I kind of wear that as a badge of honor in a way. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure, like, all of us can kind of relate in some way. Like, when you just merely mention something to do with life at home or being a brown person in Australia, like, brown people are like, yeah, someone's telling our story on stage. Yeah, I can relate finally to something that's uniquely me.
Yeah. And Andy, you're touring Australia with Kevin Crepinieri and what's that called, that lineup? All Stars?
The Aboriginal Comedy All Stars.
Yeah, right. Yep. And so are they all Indigenous audiences?
They're all Indigenous, yeah. Oh, no, not audiences. Yeah. Comedians they are.
Yeah, but you're getting a diverse crowd.
Very, very diverse. It's really, it's refreshing to see Pigment Challenge people in the audience. And and it's, you know...
That's a very PC way of saying white.
We all learn on the way, which is terrific. It's it's an amazing experience, and an older demographic too, which is really, really cool. Mm.
Yeah, cool. Ronnie, how are you feeling about everything?
Oh, I'm feeling great, yeah.
Tell us about your girlfriend.
Yeah.
I wonder if I still have a girlfriend. I don't even know.
I think you do. She's not hearing this.
Yeah, either she didn't exist or she's broken up with me due to me not discussing how awesome she is. Yeah.
What were the expectations, do you think, that your family had of you as a youngster? Were they this?
No.
What did they think?
They they didn't know you could do this. Like, they didn't know you could just come on, you know, talk shit into a microphone and people pay money for that, you know. They didn't know that was an option. My father said that no one will ever pay money to watch you talk, ever. He said that, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, now I proved him wrong. No, we've got a good relationship, by the way. He didn't understand. He didn't get it, right? He was just like, how can you possibly do that, right?
It is pretty weird.
It is pretty weird.
Yeah, even for like us, just, you know, for white people, the idea of talking and getting paid to just talk crap, like, that's just a bizarre notion. Like, you can't. Yeah.
We joke around, we say we just talk crap for money, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, clearly.
Oh, I never prepare. I just go up on stage and just...
And just channel
just
Islam.
It, you know, just feel it.
Islam, just
channel Islam. Just let the brown seep in. And
am I converted now, just by proximity?
I think, Ronnie, I think you put a lot of preparation into it. You seem to be very academic in your approach, because you were at university, you were studying law.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it feels like you have the very similar approach to
comedy.
Sure.
Yeah, what's that?
Are you making an Asian joke?
Failure. No.
Failure. Everything's always racial with you, man.
Oh, well, yeah.
You make a comment.
You're right.
What's that? What's that? She's failure to plan is planning to fail?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's a meme. That's a meme.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I plan. I try to work hard at the shows, you know, especially when people are coming to see me now. They kind of know who I am.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more expectation. So yeah, you just got to rise that.
Are you still tormenting guys you went to university with?
No. I don't torment. It's hard now. Now, because I've been doing comedy for 6 years now. I did it straight out of university. I never got a real job. So it's when I talk to when I talk to my friends who did get real jobs, it's like we can't. It's very hard to connect now. It's super hard to connect because...
Well, especially as you were sending them texts saying, I've just woken up at midday.
Yeah.
You do that.
Yeah. I'd call them up at like 1 p.m.
That's amazing.
I'd just say like, man, you won't believe the morning I just had. I had to wake up at 11 a.m. and I had to go get a juice.
I feel like the audience...
Yeah. So I do that a lot. Sometimes I just ask them to come out for lunch at 2 p.m. You know, I'm like, hey, can you guys come play basketball or whatever? Aww. Yeah. And they say, no, I can't, I'm working. I'm like, oh, sorry, man, I forgot.
Michelle, they don't have any kids.
They don't have kids, mate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm still in the no-kid zone. All my friends giving birth right now.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm starting to see the, I'm seeing the, you know, the terror.
Have you had those conversations in your relationship with your girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, we have, actually.
What do you guys
We say, why are you doing this, man?
I feel like every time I mention it, there's laughs,
I respected your relationship so much. I didn't say anything about what was going on with that.
But that was your decision.
You're going to come at me with that? I mean, with kids, I don't even have kids, so I don't know. I might be talking on my butt here, like usual. But I see my friends with kids, and now it's like they can't just come out. Everything's like it's a military operation. You got to plan, pick a day, get the babysitter, then we got to get the pram out, and then we got the pram has to be stocked with supplies. And you have to have game mentality. You can't just go out. You got to be like, okay, we're going out here. We have to make sure this thing doesn't die. Right? On the way. We have to go and make it back alive. You know, no one's getting left behind. And it's like, dude, I can't. Let's just go out and hang out, you know, at the juice bar. But no, you can't. Yeah.
You can always tell people without kids with their smiles and happiness and shit. And, and look at them sitting. I'm going to tell you, it's like at home.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you've got kids at home. I've got a $3,000 climbing gym. $3,000.
A what?
Yep.
Climbing gym.
Fuck yeah. You should call it a luxury leather lounge, but at my house, it's a fucking climbing gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm putting down here? Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Wait. And I'm driving around a $30,000 sand pit at the moment. It's brilliant. Kids are great.
How are you doing it? How are you doing so many gigs with kids and you're touring?
Oh, I don't get involved in their lives.
Good Lord.
Such good advice, Ronnie. Yeah. Listen to this.
It's parenting 101.
This is good advice.
This makes me very nervous to be on this podcast.
Who's funny in your families? Who's funny in your family, Nazeem? You know I'm obsessed with your mum.
My little sister is the funniest. Yeah, she's always a peacemaker. Like she's the one that like kind of literally dances and clowns around in front of us when we're all fighting, just to try and like snap us out of it. Like my mum will be yelling at me, like and then she'll just come and literally just start like kind of dancing and just, you know, putting on lipstick on her. Like she just always used to just be the clown. But then I read that that's actually the role of the youngest child in the family. They're always like the.
Where'd you read that?
I read it on some like. dailylife.com.au
some blog. So really, there you go.
Mamma Mia.
Blogs, like if you print that out, that's a friggin' article.
Yeah.
Okay.
My family, my dad actually, I didn't realize it until I went back home once and I was watching him kind of hold court at the family thing. I was like, oh my God, this guy's actually kind of funny. No, as in you don't realize it, right? You don't think about it because you're so used to that behavior. And then one day you kind of see objectively and it's like, oh my God, yeah, he's totally... He's doing like a 5-minute set right here, like in front of everybody. Yeah,
that's where you got your Ronnie Cheng from.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I think I'm supposedly sound a lot like him, but
particularly dads, because we think they're just telling the same boring story and over and over, but they're actually working up a bit.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad's in Malaysia, and my mom and dad are both in Malaysia and Singapore. They split their time, so they're not in Australia. So
I can't relate because my dad left when I was 6. But you guys just continue having this conversation about dads if you want.
What?
Huh? Oh, no, he just walked out on us, so...
He's got a nice stepfather.
No, I'm just joking. That's really, I'm not joking, but we have reconciled. Can we delete this part from the podcast? Or?
Yeah, fine. I read that article in the paper the other day about when Jan Event came, though, looking for your dad.
Yeah, that was one of the first times...
S. Hussein in the phone book.
My first encounter with TV cameras was about 6 years old. Knock at the door, opened it up, and it was Jan Event. You guys remember Jan Event? Gold Logie winner for like 60 Minutes, Current Affair. And she was like running like a sympathetic Muslim puff piece. And it was during the Gulf War or something. Saddam was doing something. And so my dad's name is Shireen Hussein. And apparently that's a unisex name in Sri Lanka, Shireen. And my dad's a man. And so she started asking him questions like, oh, how does it feel to be constantly harassed because you're listed as S. Hussein in the white pages? How does it feel to be constantly knick-knocked and prank-called because you're S. Hussein? She just kept asking these questions until my dad closed the door. They ran the story anyway and cut the bit out where my dad said, no one harasses, get the hell off our property. And then since that day, we actually got prank-called, harassed and knick-knocked for like a month straight. 6 months later, my dad left to Sri Lanka, never came back again. So, yeah, thanks, Yana. You broke our family. enjoy your gold Logie.
Whoa.
Anyway, now I'm Logie nominated, so when I get that thing, I'm going to knock at her door and and break her family.
It's exciting that you're Logie nominated, though. Isn't that? How about that? Well, yeah.
I got Logie nominated as well.
It's the show that you're on.
Oh.
So the thing with Ron is that he's been nominated and awarded so many awards, right? He actually loses track. Most of them go to his spam.
How come I haven't been on the show? That's racist, man.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Sorry about that.
It's great.
Who's the funniest person in your family?
In any Aboriginal lounge room, you can just sit there all day and just get some mad jokes all day, and it's really, really funny. I have this cousin who's always in trouble, and he comes in, and this is, I kid you not, and he comes in and he goes, "Nah, bought a Jeep." And me auntie goes, "You bought a Jeep?" And he goes, "Yep, I bought a Jeep." And she goes, "You bought a Jeep?" "Nah, stole a Jeep." So, and my uncle is a card, but my uncle's the funniest, Uncle Dooley. And he goes, "You know how you close the gap?" I was like, "How do you close the gap, Uncle Dooley?" And he goes, "You make cigarettes and grog half price for white people." I was like, "Uncle, we're trying to raise our life expectancy, not lower theirs." Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, but you watch that gap close real fucking quick." Yeah, he's a funny old bugger.
What's your dream? What's your comedy dream?
To be Ronnie Cheng.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually haven't got a comedy dream. I met Dave Chappelle. I touched his face. That for me. That was the peak of my life.
Did you support him? Which one of you did support
Spot? We both got to actually support
him. Both did support Spot for Dave Chappelle.
Different dates. So he was my comedy idol. And
Nazeem, how'd you touch his face? It wasn't weird like this, was it?
I wanted to touch it with my hand. So like, I kind of like knocked my hand into the side of his cheek. And then
I... Are you serious?
Well, look, I told my manager, I was like, I really want to touch Dave Chappelle's face. And she goes, "Just give him a hug and your cheek will touch his face." And then I was like, "Yeah, but I want to touch it with my hand." So when I went into... it's weird, right? It's my dream, all right? Don't crap on my dreams.
To touch his face.
Yeah. What, you guys don't want
to... No, I did that once.
Who's your idol?
Bono. I was next to Bono and touched him, and weirdly, yeah.
Who's your...
I'd be bad at it.
Who's that? Hayley Williams. Would you touch Hayley Williams' face? Is that your dream? See, she said yes.
She's touched it.
Yeah. She hugged her like a normal person.
Hey, who's Hayley Williams?
I can't believe you don't know Hayley Williams.
Is she from Paramore? Yeah. She's a singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Duh.
I've heard singing. It's fun.
So you touched his face.
Look, it was kind of accident. It was a brush. In hindsight, I was like, I intended to do that, but I'm backpedaling here.
But you did it. You got it
done. I touched his face.
You got it done. What did he say when you touched his face?
He didn't know I touched his face. It started off as a joke, and then it became a goal.
Real. It became real, yeah.
And I touched
How did you go when you met him, Ronnie? Very businesslike, I'm
yeah,
assuming.
Yeah, I tried to...
talk to him like a person?
I tried to talk to him like a person. I had to overcome the fanboy. I had about 10 seconds of fanboying, and then I realized, like, oh, you got to be like a colleague. So I touched his face. Yeah. Yeah. I got that out of the way in the first 10 seconds. And then I shook his hand. And then he said, "Great job." And he's very profound. He's a very profound guy. Like backstage, he's giving all this advice.
Yeah.
Like he was quoting Muhammad Ali.
Mm. Yeah, really?
Yeah, I didn't even know what was going on. Like he
quoted Scooby-Doo, remember that?
He was quoting everything. He's just like, he's so well-read, like it's crazy. But backstage, he's just
Scooby-Doo to like Muhammad Ali.
And he's always like smoking on stage, right?
Yeah.
And I actually think that his smoking on stage, I don't think he can do stand up without smoking on stage. Because I think it's built into his timing now.
Yeah, it's part like of his rhythm.
Then he'll do the punchline, right? Black people.
It's more often white people as a punchline.
Yeah. So I wonder if he can do comedy without smoking. I mean, not that he has to. He doesn't give a damn, man. He went in Montreal. I saw him in Montreal live the year before I opened for him in Just for Laughs. And Montreal has a strict no smoking or you will get fined, you know, and don't go over time or you will get fined in the fancy theaters. And he smoked and he went over time.
And the fine is $10,000.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
And he was just like, I don't care, I want to smoke.
He's He doesn't care in a cool way. Like, he just kept doing the show.
Does Hayley Williams do that?
Yeah.
Not much of an idol.
That's like me.
That's like you.
I don't care.
You don't care about rules either.
I don't care about rules. Yeah. I just do what I have to do. Eat 2 minute noodles in 1 minute.
Dude.
Shit like that.
Such a rebel.
You're an outlaw, man.
Yeah.
Step over that mark every single time.
Tell us about your first gig. Do you remember it?
Wasn't.
What happened your first gig?
First gig was Melbourne Uni Campus Comedy Competition. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You entered a few times before you actually showed up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I was at uni for 5 years doing double degree, and I signed up every year, and I always chickened out the day before. And then my final year, I just went to do it, and then just won that shit. And then I thought it was awesome. And then I remember emailing the biggest comedy management company in town and going, because at that point it was final year of uni, and so I was in job hunting mode. So I had, you know, the job hunting emails. You know, when final year, when you're applying for internships and whatever that called, clerkships and all that. So I had the email, hi, my name is Roy Chang. I just won the campus comedy competition. I'm looking for management. Will you be interested in management? Blah, blah, blah. And I sent it off. And
so you treat it like a job?
Yeah, I treat it like a job application. And I researched all the firms, all the management firms in Australia, of which there are like three.
Yeah.
Three and a half, I'm sorry. And I emailed the biggest one, and they replied, and they said, "Oh, thank you, congratulations on winning."
Our offices are currently closed at the moment.
Congratulations on winning the competition. We are not currently looking to manage anyone, but good luck, and hopefully see you around.
You should forward them that email now.
No, why? Yeah. No. There's no hate. No, there's no hate. There's
perfect movie ending.
There's no hate. No one. There's no. You know, they weren't malicious. They didn't say anything mean, and I didn't know the game. I thought that was how you played. That's how you do this thing, because I played. But that's not how you do this industry. Yeah, that's not how you don't apply for jobs like it's a job. Yeah. So that was my bet. Yeah, it's fine. I think I applied to your manager as well. I sent an email to Beck, Fox in the Snow. I think.
And if you're listening to this podcast, Beck. Look at where he is now.
No, but it's not. No, there's no. I don't have a chip on my shoulder with that. There's no chip on my shoulder. Yeah, because you're a kid. You have 5 minutes. Well, you're gonna get someone to manage you. Mm-hmm. You got 5 minutes. You got nothing. Go work on your material, right?
So. And that was like 5 whole years ago, right?
That was 6 years ago.
Six
yeah,
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. Yeah.
You come a long way. Five years.
I was still older than you now.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. You.
Nazeem, tell us about your first gig.
I did a lot of gigs at like Muslim camps and stuff like that. And one of the first gigs I did, I was making jokes about my mum and this, and the head sheikh was there. And
oh,
he
sorry, what was that?
The head, like the imam, like the, what are you guys?
What?
I don't know, like rabbis, priests.
Yeah. The head dude.
I don't know, like if you're white, like maybe the pub owner or something. You're like a, I don't know what's the equivalent. So he was there, and he just basically literally stopped me and said, "You have talked bad about your mother behind her back. You need to call her now and apologize." And then he left the room. And everyone was silent, and I was still there with the mic. And I just said, thank you very much. And I just got off the stage. But my that was...
Oh, for real?
For real, yeah. I freaked out. And then I
then
had, you had to tell my mom.
Then why don't you contact that guy now and go like, now I got a whole TV show about this.
No, but he would
got
come...
2 seasons on SBS.
He would come to the recording and probably stop me mid-show and say, Nazeem, you have made fun of white people. Well done.
This is probably a set... Joke. This is a really sensitive topic, so I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
let's talk about your girlfriend.
So no. So are you editing this?
No. Okay, sure.
I took a taxi once, and the guy who was taking me to the airport happened to be Islam.
Oh, he just happened to be Muslim.
Yeah, happened to be Muslim.
I've never met a Muslim taxi driver actually.
Okay. Well, this guy happened to be a Muslim. And I told him what I did.
Yeah.
Like I do comedy. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I used to watch, you know, comedy, Russell Peters. But then my faith told me that it's actually against to make fun of people, you know, to disrespect."
That guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, good, good. Yeah. Okay.
That's why he's driving a taxi and he's not an imam at a camp heckling me.
Okay. Okay, just want
to
clarify.
No, like the prophet used to like crack jokes. His companions used to say all sorts of funny stuff.
Sure.
I mean, you should read the Quran, guys.
Sure.
Do you stop? Hilarious? Is it hilarious?
Oh, it's hilarious! Because like it's a page turner.
Okay.
Because you're like a full on Buddhist, right?
Yeah, well.
Full on.
You
Buddhist,
should also read the Quran.
No? Full on. Yeah.
There's this thing in Buddhism where you're not supposed to say, you know, don't. I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
But it's like don't talk shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Buddha said,
the Buddha said, don't talk shit.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I go, oh, whoops, my whole job is about
talking shit. Yeah, because you grew up Buddhist, right?
Not really, no.
Didn't you?
No, no, my dad's like, my dad is half Christian, half Taoist, and my mom's like Taoist, and nobody cares.
Yeah, okay. Basically. Yeah.
Nobody cares. They never,
I know. It's hard not to talk shit about people in comedy. Do you ever get in trouble? Have you ever been in trouble for talking about family or friends or uncle, what's his name?
Uncle Dooley.
Uncle Dooley.
No, not really. I've just, so I'm the biggest in the family and I'll just punch a piss out of all of them. And that's how we work in my family.
Yeah, right.
It's, you do things and get things done through physical domination.
You know where you stand with you guys.
No, look, I am.
Andy, can you do this?
Yeah, I've got.
Oh my god!
Your wingspan is out of control, man.
That's huge.
Like you can just slap me without moving.
I want to beat the world record for the most.
Do you play basketball?
People I can hug. I did. Yeah.
You guys should meet
volleyball.
Up.
Volleyball.
Topless hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Your wingspan is out of control, man.
Yeah, it's big.
You can get right in there. Yeah.
This is perfect for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the people out there, my wingspan is 20 foot. Listening to this podcast.
Do you get in trouble from your mum, Nazim?
She comes to lots of my shows.
Yeah, you've been in trouble at gigs. I know she's been.
Yes, exactly. Well, so this is, I'm doing 23 shows at Comedy Festival, and she will normally come to about half of those and laugh louder than everybody else during. But she once, in the middle of a show, she basically said, don't swear, Nazim. That's use a better word. So she's said stuff like that before.
My mom, dude, my mom is constantly asking me to wear a suit on stage. Just every single time she talks to me, she's just like, all right, by the way, can you put on a suit?
At least I can say you got a suit job.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because in her head, she's watched Seinfeld.
Ah.
And she's just like, that's...
Yeah, yeah. But you would look good in a suit.
Sorry?
You should...
I do, but I feel like it doesn't... I tried it once,
yeah.
And I just felt like a car salesman. Like, it doesn't... Yeah. Like, it doesn't fit the material.
It's a concept. Mm. When you see a comedian in a suit,
yeah.
Like, that's...
Hey!
Kind of, yeah. That's conceptual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also
80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
What year were you born?
I was born 85.
Oh.
Yeah. Same here.
Are there a lot of mothers in the audience?
Probably. It's 5:30, Giles.
Moms?
Probably.
When were you born, Andy?
71 here.
19 or 18?
oh! Black and crack.
I'm 44, which 44. Is about 55 in white years.
Okay.
So you have to close the gap fast.
Yeah.
So you're almost done, yeah?
I had a white mate come up to me and say, "Oh, you should read this report I'd done on closing the gap." And okay. How big is it? And he goes, "Oh, it's 300 pages long." And I said, "What's it specifically about?" He goes, "Oh, it's about raising the life expectancy for Aboriginal people." Mm-hmm. I said, "Doesn't that prove to you I've got no fucking time to read your report?" Close the gap. And then I'll read it. Yeah. So I can go, oh, that's how you done it. Thanks for the extra 20 years.
Let's talk bad gigs. No, I'm sure none of you have ever had a bad gig. But see if we can try and think of one.
I've been booed off stage. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But in Busselton in WA at what's it called again? Southbound Festival?
Yep.
Southbound
Which
Music
Festival.
Which is like
Falls Festival.
Yeah, it's the West Coast equivalent. It's the West Coast add-on for Falls Festival. So they do that festival. I was on stage doing comedy 2 years ago. And
why did they boo you off?
Oh, just, you know, people not in the mood for comedy and, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's a music festival. Some people weren't in the mood for it. Someone made it racial. Like, one of the hecklers made it racial. I don't believe it was racial. But he was just like, I think he got angry. And then he was like, I don't think Asians are funny. And then I didn't start racial. It just, these are just kids, you know, they're there for music. And they're not there to listen to comedy. And comedy needs some patience. And that's the thing about comedy. It's a two-way street. Like, you need an audience who's willing to listen.
Yeah.
If you get an audience who's like this, make me laugh. Like,
and were you like on a music stage? Because normally there's a comedy tent
outdoor.
Somewhere.
It was outdoor music.
But they're waiting for Chet Faker and they've got to sit through.
Was he that articulate?
I don't think.
He actually was.
Was he?
So, excuse me. Actually, that same stage, I did it, I think, the year after, the year before. Yeah. As soon as I walked on, the weirdest heckle I've ever had in my life, someone just yells out, Pakistan. Or what are you supposed to... I don't know.
Isn't it...
I'm not even Pakistani. Like, oh, I'm okay. Sri Lankan. Anyway, so maybe I had like geography Tourette's.
Did you address it?
I didn't address it.
You can't address that, man.
What are you
it's
supposed
a
to
losing
say?
Numb. You can't.
Thank you for the warm welcome. Like,
because if you address it, no one else has heard it.
I don't know.
So you're just talking to yourself at that point. Yeah, it's a losing battle. Yeah, the correct thing to do in that situation is to actually dive into the audience and beat the shit out of that person. Yeah.
Oh, Nazim, you could have said, I'm Aboriginal. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah.
The worst gig I did was on a boat. It was a corporate gig, and it was the most money I've ever been offered for anything. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And they said, 3 hours. I was like, yeah, 3 hours for a lot of money. I'll do that. I did the gig. No one listened to me. They all were talking. And then I got off stage, and I was stuck on this boat with them for like 3 hours. Two people came up to speak to me. The first person said, hi, where are the toilets? So I was like, just over there. Someone else said, hey, man, yeah, if you try really hard, you can be... you know, nearly as good as Akmal was when he started. So I was like, oh, well, thank you very much. Then I didn't know what to do, so I was just, there was a poker table that they had set up, so I thought if I sit here and just have my head down, no one's going to see who I am, and they won't remember that I'm that guy that just sucked on stage. And then someone said, oh, excuse me, can you pass me the rule book thing over there? So I leant over and knocked over this bottle of Coke, and it went all over the felt table, and everyone was like, oh, you idiot! And like, oh, it's that guy! Oh, freak! They wanted to throw me overboard.
Yeah.
I would have jumped overboard. Yeah.
Oh, worth the money, though.
Wow. Do it again. Yeah, you still got paid, right?
Yeah, well, $50, $60, I think. Good money.
Which you lost at the poker table.
No, it was just fake money, but yeah. Mm.
So what's this festival show about? Can we still get tickets to you guys?
Yeah, I've got a show on the 18th at 9 o'clock, the Town Hall. It's upstairs, so it's called Legally Brown.
It's a big deal to do the Town Hall.
Are you doing the
Ronnie's
big room, the main room?
Well, the other ones have sold out, guys, but doing an extra at the big one. Ronnie's doing five extra in that big room, so make sure you get tickets to both of our shows.
That is a big deal. When I first started doing the comedy festival, that room was used maybe twice in the entire festival.
Look, just because you've booked it doesn't mean you're going to fill it up. I might have 15 people there, so yeah. I just want to sound impressive.
You'll be
right. I just want the selfie before... where I could say, check out these 2,000 seats, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to fill these up and never take an after photo.
That's a big deal. What are you going to do? What's the show? It's big stage as well.
I'm going to have a holograph of myself on stage.
Great.
Now, it's just a lot of stories about growing up. And it's actually my first hour. So it's just a bunch of funny bits from here and there. No real thread, but from the title, Legally Brown, you can imagine the sorts of things you're going to be speaking about, eh? If you're white, you may be the butt of many of the jokes. So... See that muted laugh?
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're fine.
I heard someone go,
what's the number for Asia?
You do push it too. What's that T-shirt you were wearing the other day?
Oh,
What did it say? Something Muslim?
Oh.
What did it say?
If I describe it, it's just going to sound bad. It just said extreme Muslim, but it had a Muslim going like this. I caught the train in.
I know. Wearing,
and then people were looking at me and I thought, oh, they recognize me from the TV, but they clearly don't like my comedy because they're frowning. But then I looked at my T-shirt and I was like,
yeah.
And then maybe they couldn't see the face or they couldn't see this part. I was like, I'm a chicken.
I want one of them.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, oh, you guys, cool. And if you guys would like one, all you need to do is just convert to Islam and I'll be happy. Hand
just
them
start
out.
Converting people, man. Every single time.
Ronnie, what's the show about?
It's just some
There's still
shit.
Some ticket. Yeah. Same shit.
It's just some shit. Me talking. No, I should treat more respect. It's just me. There's no theme. I just make fun of. A lot of my comedy comes from conflict, so I just talk about the conflict I have with people on the internet. Conflict with.
What conflict could you possibly have with people, Ronnie?
Just constant fights and yeah.
Can I tell you? I actually had someone come out of Ronnie Cheng's show. And they were like, oh, I'm seeing your show next week. But I just saw Ronnie Cheng's show, and that was the best show I've ever seen in my life. And they were then going to see my show after. So, like...
I don't believe that's the true story.
I swear to God, it's a true story.
A true story?
Absolute
when
true
was
story.
It?
First week of the festival.
First week?
Yeah.
All right.
Best show they've ever...
Yeah, I hang out with Nazim a lot.
I noticed. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. Okay. We were both on Triple J.
Triple J.
Drive. We both turned down the gig at the same time.
It's crass to say so, though, Ronnie.
Oh, is it crass?
Yes.
Oh, why?
Well,
this guy over here talking about Aboriginal people. I'm being crass because I turned down a job.
Talk about jobs you turned down.
Oh, is that bad?
Yeah. Well, it's okay. A little. It's a little insensitive, I think, maybe.
To who? Triple J?
Well, no, to the other people who got the job,
to
maybe.
People that don't have.
Oh, no, that's nothing against them. It's just that for us, we just.
Yeah.
He's just sleeping in.
Oh, is that disrespectful?
This
God damn it.
This was supposed to be a secret.
I seriously don't know where the line is anymore. The reason I'm so quiet is because Andy's going off on his own people. I'm like, I don't want to be part of this highlight, right? I want to be part of this block.
Seriously, this could have been resolved about an hour ago if you just spoke about your girlfriend.
Yeah, I wasn't comfortable ever since I got on stage because I was talking about my girlfriend.
I wasn't going to ask about her specifically. I was just like,
does she exist?
You talk about your private life and stuff like that. That's all I was going to do.
Yeah, she's cool.
Okay.
It's getting very confrontational.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but... yeah, we've worked a lot together, so I know him very well.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying.
He's a very trustworthy guy. Yeah.
I'm Michelle Laurie, and you are right in the middle of the Nitty Gritty Committee. Thank you for downloading. It's all brought to you by Car City Ringwood. Okay, things are running very smoothly, I think you'll agree, but they're about to get a little bit weird. You see, on the afternoon of this recording, there was a big rally in Melbourne. The Reclaim Australia party or group or movement or whatever they are, they wanted to have a big rally, and then so their opponents came down to rally against them, and it was a big sort of fracas in the middle of Melbourne CBD. So as we progress through this last bit of the conversation, I'm not sure if you can hear it, but we're sort of chatting back and forth to a man who came to the show directly from his Reclaim Australia picket line.
No, racism's getting better.
What does that mean?
It is. It's getting better.
Better racism?
That's what I'm saying. Oh. Racism in this country is getting heaps better. People are getting heaps better at being racist.
Did anyone see the Reclaim rally that was on today at Fed Square? Did you pass that? So, you know, the Reclaim Australia guys showed up and apparently they had like swastikas tattooed on them and stuff. And then the socialists showed up. That's not right? What happened?
They forgot to bring the stickers. They forgot to bring the stickers.
The socialists had swastikas? They're the worst fucking socialists I've ever heard of in the world.
Why did the socialists...
So you were there? Yeah. You were there with Reclaim Australia? Yeah. Really?
Would you consider reading the Quran?
Dude.
You read, that's awesome. That's why you were there. All right, well, let's read it together.
Oh, okay. You're not racist.
He's not racist because you can't be racist against a Muslim because Islam, not a race.
God, what time's your show on? I don't mind seeing that.
It's a weird alliance you formed there.
I think we could be friends, me and you.
We'll get to you. Don't leave. Don't leave.
I'll definitely get to you.
Yeah. So
come to my show, please.
Come to all their shows. This is awesome. So they're still...
Free tickets. All right. No worries.
Free tickets. That'd be bloody right. Yeah.
Free feed for me.
What?
Free. Oh, don't worry,
Reclaim
Ronnie.
Australia.
We'll
it's basically
that.
A bunch of people that want to reclaim Australia from Muslims. Because okay. We have such a strong hold on this country. So
you do, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
How are you going with all of this, Ronnie?
I just want everyone to get along. I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, we're getting along.
Okay.
Hey, Ronnie, did you didn't comment. Did you see a lot of racism as a kid when you were growing up?
No, I mean, I didn't grow up in Australia, so a lot of these issues I'm not across fully. Like, I can say I understand, but I never experienced it myself, so I don't know. So this guy over here, I don't know what's happening. I feel like... No, he seems like a cool guy. He's calm. He's saying friendly stuff, you know. So I don't know if there's an issue or not. And then Nazim over here, you know, trying to convert. I don't know what's happening. I really don't.
Did you, Andy?
There's so many.
Basically, it's like a buyer's market, all right? Like, you know, the free market, capitalism. That's basically what it is. It's a market of ideas. Islam's competing with this guy and Reclaim Australia. We're just trying to You know, see, white people got here. They took from Aboriginal.
Yeah,
Muslims are trying to get it from white people.
I was born in Malaysia. I went to the US when I was a kid.
Good story, Ronnie. Back to Andy, we get it, babe.
All right.
Andy, have you experienced much racism in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
And you're living in Taree, right? That's a whole other story. How you're keeping a comedy career going from regional New South Wales is brilliant, amazing, interesting.
It's hard.
Yes, hard, yeah, and with kids. But yeah, tell us about that if you want to.
I mean, like, I'm from a town that has only two races, right? And there's, you know, a couple other minorities that live in the town. I was talking to Nazim, and there's other brown people that live in the town from other areas of the globe. And, you know, we got on. It's funny how minorities get on, you know. I think my nan... My grandmother, rest her soul, she's a beautiful lady. She used to say something to us kids all the time. Besides, get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah.
She used to say, you know, everyone's different, you know, and people are different. And you've got to accept when someone wants to say something like that, don't judge them, at least listen to them, regardless of how... way out and on the edge it may be, you're going to learn anyway. So whether you learn about that person or the group they're with or the country they're from or the people they're from, she used to say, you know, it's human to be different, but it's humane to accept the difference. And we live by that. We just, you know, we...
Right on.
And I got a lot of comedy from her. She, like, to tell you the truth, she was easily the funniest person in the entire family, but I think a lot of that resonated with me. So
I was chatting about my nan before, wasn't I, darling? And she said something to me once that's really stuck with me too. She said, "Michelle, I reckon you'll reach your goal weight about 6 days after you're dead." Ronnie, don't look at me like that. Ladies and gentlemen, please thank them for coming along today. Nazim Hussain, Ronnie Chang and Andrew Saunders. Get along and see their shows. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks,
everyone.
Give it
up for Michelle Lee.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Let's go, guys. You'll find more info about all of our guests at michellelaurie.com, as well as a place to leave questions and feedback. There's also a link there to the website of Tenzin Choyil. He is the man behind the beautiful Tibetan music you've heard throughout the podcast. Thank you to Tim Mountford and Peter Laurie for editing help, but please know that the clunkiest edits are all mine. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Nitty Gritty Committee, conversations about the guts and the glory of life. Please subscribe to get them all on iTunes and go ahead and leave us a nice review if you feel so inclined.